I was just talking to a brother and sister after Sunday school about how neat it would be able to go to certain areas and walk through them and see them without any of the chaos and no one present. It's never going to be the case. It's the world in which we live. Living through Christianity and seeing the world with a biblical understanding in the midst of the chaos, all the false teachings, all the isms that are wrong, and most of the mass of the world moving in an opposite direction is not an easy thing to do. We need to constantly look to God's Word, look at the world around us, and make the proper discerning assumptions or corrections about things, and recognize what is taking place, why it's taking place, why are we here in the midst of it? Being a Christian is not easy. The world is a messy place, and most of it is not going to be in line with God's Word, so we need to have a very sharp biblical sense to make sense of things if we are going to walk as God would have us to do. Glad you're here this morning with us. I know the weather is not optimal, but I like winter, and I wouldn't have minded if it would have snowed. Snow is pretty. I think it's fresh and beautiful when it's not dirty. I'm probably one of the few that would say that, but I do appreciate it. What was the biblical text at the heading of that song?
Psalm
48:14. Thank you. And let's turn there, please. Psalm 48:14. In Sunday school, we were talking about blind Bartimaeus coming to an understanding of who Christ was as the Son of David. Fanny Crosby, blind from infancy, obviously had to read the Bible by Braille or had it read to her. She came to a very good understanding of what the Scriptures mean. And some of it was demonstrated in Gushing from the Rock Before Me. She took it right out of the Old Testament passage of the rock that brought forth water. Psalm 48, verse 14, correct? For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. If people could truly live their lives encompassed by the understanding that we find in that verse, they'd be in good shape. This God, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the God who made the world and all things in it, the God who rules over all things and does whatever he pleases in heaven and on earth, the God who is eternal and infinite, and exalted above all things, the God who dwells in everlasting light and unapproachable light. This God, the God of Christianity, this God is our God. All of us in here being able to say, my God, our God, using proper personal pronouns is very important. Then he will be our God forever and ever. What a tremendous truth. But he won't just be our God, he will be our guide, even unto death. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a tremendous joy it is. And I trust that it warms our hearts and spirits to a great degree to truly know the God of the Bible, the God of the universe, the one true living God, exalted above all false gods, false isms, false ideas. Father, you are God and there is no other. And we praise you for that knowledge. We recognize what a tremendous blessing it is to be your chosen and beloved children. And Father, we also know that you are our personal God. We are the sheep of your hand and of your pasture.
Amen.
We are the jewels in your crown because you have chosen us to be such. We are being built up into a holy temple and a house in the Lord. We are your vineyard. We are the planting of the Lord. We are called to be trees of righteousness. You personally care about our lives and the details of them. And Father, we do know that when we seek your face, when we seek your will above all else, when we yield ourselves to you and recognize that you hold our lives in your sovereign hands, that you will indeed guide us through this world of darkness and sin, this world of sorrow and sadness, this world of chaos and calamity, so many shootings and stabbings and killings, Father, even in our own society. And yet we have the promise that you are our God, you will never forsake us, and you will guide us even unto death and bring us into your kingdom.
Amen.
Father, what a tremendous focus that should give our lives. What a tremendous purpose we should see in being your children here below and recognize that you've called us to be light shining in a dark place. So, Father, give us more and more, I pray, the ability to recognize that you are a personal God who desires to lead your people in the everlasting way. Father, help us to recognize that we shouldn't trust in our own understanding, but we should entirely lean upon you and focus entirely on what the Word of God teaches us, that we might walk in the light as you are in the light. So continue to guide us, I pray, as we always strive to worship you with reverence and fear, to worship you according to that which you've given us in the Holy Scriptures, to worship you in spirit and in truth, with our knowledge biblical and our hearts warmed and zealous and fervent with a great love for you and your ways in this world. Father, thank you for being all of that unto us. May you continue to guide us this day as we continue to strive to be what you've called us to be as your church here at Logan, here in this place. Asking these things in the holy and precious name of the branch of David himself, Jesus Christ, our mighty Redeemer. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I trust everybody recognized that that again was Fanny Crosby. I had the privilege one time years ago of meeting a family in Napa, California. Both of the boys had cataracts really, really bad. And back in the 80s, there wasn't much you could do about that. You're basically blind. So two young adults, they were a little older than me, they were both blind. They did certain things, which was amazing, seeing the fact that they really couldn't see. But they were both professing Christians. And so they brought me into the house because I wanted to see their Bibles. They had the entire Bible in Braille. Has anybody seen a Braille book with the raised dots? You realize how much space that takes up? The volumes covered an entire shelf. So Fanny Crosby quoting all of those Old Testament passages in the hymn that she just put together, she was reading out of books that were massive. Interesting note on Fanny Crosby, and I believe I'm correct in my recollection of this. She became so well known. She was a personal friend of President Polk. She was actually, I think, the first woman who ever addressed joint houses of Congress. She spoke on the House floor. Christian woman who was blind, but who had become well known as a very famous hymn writer and a friend of a lot of people. My point is, look at the effort Fanny Crosby had to put in to know the Bible so well. And she probably had to dictate, obviously, so someone could write out her hymns. She wrote thousands of them. It's a lot of dictation. It's impressive. We should never take God's word for granted. We have the ability to see it. And we can hear to some degree when it's being preached and taught. We should always recognize what a privilege it is to come to God's word and to be able to open it and see it without having to struggle some massive tome off of the shelf, find the page, right? She's got to flip through that, find the page she's looking for, think how long that would take, and then go through the verses by feel. If that's impressive, consider Helen Keller. Look at the understanding Helen Keller came to. Fanny Crosby could hear, Helen Keller could not. And she was also blind. She couldn't speak. So, praise God for the senses that we have that we can use in a spiritual manner. Let us open God's Word together to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm only going to spend a moment here, and then we'll get in to our annual meeting. But we always want to start it in God's Word. So in piggybacking on the sermon from last week, and from the Sunday school from, or the Wednesday night from the week before, 1 Peter chapter 2, you know what you're going to find there. Especially in verse 5. Let's pray that God would bless our time in His Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You as always for the opportunity to open Your Word together. Give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear what we should and what we should find. And Father, give us an even more studious nature and a reverential attitude to go with it as we always open Your Word with a desire to be brought under its light, to be drawn closer to You, to recognize more fully Your will for us and what You would have us be and do, and to see clearly, Father, all of the wonders as we drink deeply from the wells of salvation. We thank You, Father, that Jesus Christ is our rock, and that gushing forth from Him has been that water that, when tasted, we will never thirst again, not for our eternal salvation. So we praise You for that. May You bless our time together in that which succeeds it. Praising You for it through Jesus Christ our Lord. In His precious name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Unto whom coming, in other words, Christ, because He is the Lord mentioned in verse 3, unto whom coming a living stone, as a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with God elect and precious. First point I want us to see is coming to Christ. We've been talking about the gospel in the past, and we came back to it last Sunday. Let's just make some basic statements we know to be true. If people don't come to Jesus Christ, they will never be saved from their sins or from eternal damnation. People must come to Christ to be saved. People must come to Christ to have a relationship with the one true living God, the God who made them. People must come to Christ if they are going to receive a welcome entrance into His heavenly, eternal, glorious kingdom. That's why Jesus Christ calls Himself the door, capital D, in John chapter 10. I am the door. If anyone enters by Me, they shall be saved, and shall come in and out and find pasture. It's a wonderful promise in John chapter 10, but again, the emphasis here is people must come to Christ, and they must come to Him as He reveals Himself and in the right way. You don't get to define Him according to your own imagination. You don't get to come in your own way. You must come by faith, and you must come to the One who is the Savior of the world, who is prophet, priest, and King, God Most High. Those are all basic elements of the gospel. So the second point I want to make here is in the word rejected. Coming unto Christ as a living stone. But that's us. But for the vast majority, rejected indeed of men. We would be sorely mistaken. Please hear this because this is important. We would be sorely mistaken if we thought that the lack of spiritual understanding in our day and age is something new or novel in the earth. If we think that our times are greatly different than those that have gone before us, we are incorrect. I'm not saying America hasn't changed, because it has drastically. But in general and as a whole, the world is what it's always been since the fall in the garden. God has been rejected by the vast majority of his creatures, mankind, since the fall in the garden. To be more specific, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, the greatest expression of God the world has ever seen, was vastly rejected in his own divinity. He and his gospel were then both rejected during the apostolic era as well. He has been rejected in every generation since then, in the most part. Even during times of reformation, or revival, so to speak, Jesus Christ has been widely rejected for 2,000 years. Our day and age is no different. The gospel remains the same. The manner in which we share it with others remains the same. The content of the gospel remains the same. Don't let people sway you into thinking that because somehow or other people's lack of spirituality today is something novel and new, we need to change the gospel, heaven forbid, or we need to develop new techniques or tactics or methods to share. Both of those are dangerously false. If you read church history, you will find that the great saints, the preachers, the evangelists, the missionaries that were widely rejected for preaching Jesus Christ, even the most famous of them, they never changed the gospel, they never changed its content, they never tried to develop new methods or worldly tactics to share it with others. They simply shared it with love and compassion, yet with truth and fervency, and left the rest in God's hands. I hope everybody heard what I just said. Because there's people today that think that we need to develop a new way of presenting Christianity. That is dangerous. So I went back in time, as I like to do, and I pulled out some stuff by Charles Spurgeon. I've mentioned him before. He may be singly the channel that God used to save more people in the world than any other person who's ever preached. I just made a very impressive statement. More than the Apostle Paul? Paul didn't have the internet. Neither did Spurgeon. But Paul was also lacking something else. How quickly do you think things were transferred in his day and age, copied down, written, and sent elsewhere? Tough, right? In Spurgeon's day and age, it was a little easier. He lived in the 1900s. 1800s, 19th century England. They copied his sermons, they sent them worldwide. Yeah, they had to go by ship. But they got there a lot sooner than they would have in Paul's day. The world was a lot larger in the days of Spurgeon. Millions of people read his sermons weekly, all over the globe. And I went and looked up, again, I knew what he preached, I knew his theology. His gospel never changed, his approach never changed. You know what he complained of? The lack of spiritual understanding, spiritual concern, and spiritual insight of his day and age in London. He had a church of 10,000 people. And his major complaint was, people don't care about God or his word. Folks, we're not living anything different. Even when America was outwardly speaking a better place, people still are spiritually dead. They don't gravitate to the things of God. We're not dealing with anything new. I wanted to stress that. That's important we understand that. We are not living in new times as far as that goes. There's no need to change God's truth. There's no need to change the manner in which we share it. Share it in its fullness. Share it in love and compassion, but recognize fullness. It must all be present. Leave the rest in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Last thing I want us to recognize is choice and precious in verse 4. God opened our eyes at some point in time, and we became spiritually enthused. We cared about the things of God. We saw the beauty in a crucified Savior. In John chapter 9, we read that Jesus passed by and saw a man who had been blind from birth. When Jesus heals the man and then goes away from him, the man ends up in a conversation with the religious leaders of the Jews, and they are trying to pin him down about Christ. And the man's answer, who had miraculously received his sight from Christ, was, "One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see." I know that was physically, but spiritually the connotations are tremendous. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton wasn't blind, but he knew that spiritually he was before being saved. Ephesians 2:5 says that we were dead in trespasses and sins, but God made us alive together with Christ. So he became precious in our eyes, which brings us down to verse 5. And I only want to point out two things. And it comes from the phrase, living stones. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Living stones. Christ is building his church, a holy spiritual temple, and we're part of it, with regenerated men and women. He's building his church with regenerated people. People born again by the Spirit of God. That's how we become living stones. John the Baptist realized that most of the Jews in his day and age, like the previous generations, would not receive the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So John said, out of these stones, God will raise up children unto Abraham. Those stones were an analogy for Gentiles, people outside the kingdom of Israel. The Jews rejected Christ. John said, even out of these stones, God will raise up a remnant to follow the Lamb of God. And he did. Here we are to prove it. So we are living stones to offer spiritual sacrifices. My point here is the fulfillment is always better than the type. In Romans chapter 12, Paul makes an exhortation. He says, "Therefore, brethren, I beseech you, by the sure mercies of God, offer up your bodies as living, holy sacrifices, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." The fulfillment is greater than the type. The reason Paul in Romans 12 says, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, he's referring back to all the animal sacrifices that were killed and offered under the old covenant in the Mosaic dispensation time period. But this is the new. What do you think God would rather have? Us slaying animals, which could never atone for our sin, or us actually giving ourselves as living sacrifices, yielded to him that he would use us as he so desires? God would rather have a living sacrifice of his people than 1,000 dead animals. He even made that point in the Old Testament time. So we really need to see ourselves as living stones in the universal body of Christ, but in a very real manner, right here in this place, this local expression of it, to offer sacrifices as priests. And again, what is better, the fulfillment of their type? Aaron, on the Day of Atonement, by himself, going into the Holy of Holies, or all of us gathered here together today, not descendants of the Levitical tribe, not in the family of Aaron, Gentiles, in fact, stones, according to John the Baptist. Here we are today, all of us, being able to go to the very throne room of God itself and offer spiritual sacrifices. Which would God rather have? Obviously, us over Aaron. The fulfillment is greater than the type. And once the type has been replaced by the fulfillment, There's no longer need for the type. Read the Bible with that understanding, and your theology will line up more accurately with what God gives us.
So let's close in prayer. Father, now we come to you, just realize that you are sovereign, almighty God. And you uphold us. But Lord, we just ask that you continue to strengthen us and guide us. Give us visions of the things that need to be done. And Lord, give us a heart to want to do them. Show us visually how we can be true servants in this place. So Lord, I just ask that you just open our eyes to see the things that need to be done. Open our hearts to give to those things that need cost. And just open our time that we can be participants in these projects and things we'd like to accomplish. But Lord, we just praise you for this building, how precious it is. And Lord, we just want to continue to worship here as long as we can give us breath. We want to see your word preached here continuously. We just ask that you just have your hand upon us. And all those that are even here this morning, Lord, we just praise you for them and just thank you for their desire to be part of Logan. But Lord, we want to continue to grow spiritually. We want to, in the end, be followers and worshipers of you alone. We want to put you first in all that we do. So may, by your will, we move forward. We just continue to ask you for the strength, the wisdom, and the knowledge to do the things that need to be done here at this place. We just praise you for Pastor Jeff and Catherine and their service here. And we just give so much thanks for the hours that Jeff puts in studying your word. It is generosity, just wanting to spend time with each one of us. Time to answer questions. And Lord, we just ask you to just continue to challenge us. Become stewards of your word. So Lord, we just give you thanks and praise. May this day just we give you the honor and glory for all that you've done. We just ask you to just bring us back again Wednesday and next Sunday. Another opportunity to study and worship you, Lord. So we just give you thanks in our Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.